Good morning. How the hell are you? I don't know whose idea this was, but Mondays are rough. But what makes it a little bit better is we're one day closer to college football. I think we're at the 38-day mark right now. And before we get going, and I forget, because I remember, this is brand new to me. Executive producer Mike doesn't wake up till noon, I don't think. So before we get going, I want to remind the cousins we are brought to you by MyBookie. You want to help the show? You want to get me an executive producer? Well, go on to MyBookie, hit promo code SEC, and they will 100% match your first deposit. That is the key right there. Last year, I don't know if you recall, and I've said this a couple times, when we got toward the end of the year, they dropped it to 50. So now's the time to get the 100%. And now's the time to get those bets in. I mean, we're going to talk some over-unders. We're going to talk some a little gambling. And if you jump on MyBookie, that would help us out tremendously. All right. So what's this show about anyway, right? Drinking coffee, talking college football. It's basically a recap. So you wake up. SEC hangover, first episode, and you're saying, what the hell did I miss last night? What the hell did I miss this weekend? Check your phones. Make sure you didn't send any dumb texts. We've all been there. Send those bad calls. Oh, my gosh, I called the ex. I can hear it now. That's what we're going to do on this show. So what did we miss? You know, one of the – I hate to put a Manziel on blast first thing in the morning, but – one of the things we talked about at SEC Media Days was last year, 2025, what I guess one of the main talking points was Georgia and speeding, Georgia and getting arrested. And honestly, they've been good down there in Athens. And we talked to a couple of the Manziels, and they said, Kirby's doing something. Because I was curious. I said, you know, this was a hot topic. We're not talking about it now. What are some things that Kirby's doing in the background? One thing I thought was pretty cool is Kirby has taken pictures, I guess. I probably should reword this. Kirby had the players put pictures of their moms inside the vehicle to remind them that they are on the road as well. And when I brought it up with Kaylee Manziel, she told me, knock on wood, we've been good. Well, they're back in the news. Georgia offensive line Jaw Jackson arrested on charges including felony possession of marijuana. The article goes on here. Offensive lineman was arrested on Wednesday on charges including possession marijuana, more than 1 ounce, which is a felony. According to Athens Clark County jail log, Jackson was booked at 11:50 p.m. on Wednesday night and were released 4:17 a.m. the following morning. Jackson was charged with felony possession of marijuana, more than 1 ounce, with a misdemeanor charge of marijuana less than 1 ounce possession and use of drug-related objects and physically holding or supporting any part of his or her body, a wireless device. So was on his phone. So sorry, knock on wood, Georgia, you're back in the news. But what else is back in the news? Steve Sarkisian. Sark was down here in Texas. He's doing the car wash down here at Texas High School. And had some interesting comments, so let's run here with Steve Sarkisian.
Sark, I was just wondering if you'd comment on the uniqueness of not having a game before the big non-conference game against Ohio State. And for you, from a whether it's camp structure, game planning, getting ready for that big one right out of the gate, on top of the fact that that's the last team you play, just the uniqueness of the opener this year.
Yeah, you know, I've been down this road a couple different times throughout my career. This is probably the most daunting challenge of a first game, because some of those games were neutral sites type games. You know, really early in my career, way back in 03, we opened at Auburn when I was at SC, and that was a heck of a challenge. We had a new quarterback, Matt Leinart, and we had a couple freshman running backs, Reggie Bush, Lendell White. Like, we were a young team, and we had a great defense that year and found a way to win on the road against a – might have been preseason number one team in the country at the time in Auburn. And so you just try to tap into kind of those things throughout your career that you've been through, and then how can you benefit from that? For us, historically what we've done, and I don't mind getting into this, you know, the first 2.5 weeks or so of training camp have been truly that of training camp. And then we've adjusted kind of into that third week of where we've gotten into that first opponent, that bigger opponent. So a few years ago, it was Alabama for that week. Last year, it was Michigan. This year would be Ohio State. And that was really implementing the game plan for that game. And then the fourth week, we would then game plan and prepare for our first opponent. Where this year, what it will look like more of kind of a 2-week process to get ready for the game. Similar in a sense, I guess you could say it almost to a bowl game. But yet the reality of it is probably a little more physicality, a little more opportunity to tackle and to do those things to make sure that you're sharp. That's always, right? What are your biggest concerns going into a game? Your first game is A, tackling, that you make sure you can get people on the ground. B, ball security, that your ball carriers are used to being tackled, right? So you're not giving up short fields. And then 3, dealing with performance anxiety. You know, for some of the players who it's their first time on that stage, that they're ready to perform. And so if I can put them in some of those elements, as well as, you know, the staff putting together a good game plan, and then we can get up there and go cut it loose and go play.
Well, obviously one of the marquee games will be week one, Texas, Ohio State, and kind of a, you know, a lot of great games. And this is the one that I feel like everyone has circled as the biggest game, and rightfully so. I mean, this could be potential national championship game later in life here. But I think it's also important to note, you know, because Texas does get a bad rap about their scheduling. Nobody wants to play Ohio State, you know, and didn't run from it. You know, obviously this is a marquee game, but more important, I think, is if Texas is going to make that ultimate run, starting out with Ohio State, I mean, name a better game. Even if you lose, Texas wins. And the main thing for me, obviously, will be Arch Manning, kind of to see, is he the big deal? Arch Mania, is it legit? You know what else? You know what is legit? And I'm sorry, I'm not good with the sounds yet. Going to have to work on that. But Unwavering Disciple, cool name. Welcome to the family. Sorry, morning. I ain't had enough coffee to get to the yelling part yet. Johnny, Utah, coming through. Come on. Gifted 5. See, this is not what I was prepared for. I didn't think anybody'd show up. I thought I could just ghost or post and ghost, as they say. But I appreciate you guys showing up, and I want to give the cousin a proper shout out here. So let's get on here. Bear with me. All right, let's see, Johnny Utah. I appreciate you, cuz, really do. He's gifted 5 memberships. Alicia D, Jay Pitt, Chuck Wagner, the Hog Wild Podcast, and Chris C. Welcome to the family. Oh, I appreciate you, brother. All right, so where was I going with that? Squirrel, I saw it there for a second. I want to kind of rope in an article I saw. And you know, I'm not bashing this guy at all, by no means. Probably one of the hardest workers in the business. He posted you know, this is what we do. It's for engagement, whatever. But Pete Nakos posted toughest non-conference schedules. And if you're driving and listening, I'll just give you a recap here. Baylor, Miami, TCU, Duke, Clemson, Syracuse, Kent State, Ohio, Tulane, Florida, and Florida State. Just guess what the number one comment under this photo was. where's the SEC teams? You nailed it. Well, as you're looking at this, I mean, again, I understand Pete is just putting the list out there, but to say, to call out the SEC is kind of comical, in my opinion, because look at these teams. I've highlighted a few here. We'll start off with Duke, okay? So this is Duke's schedule. They've got Elon. 90% of you can't even tell me where that. Hell, I don't know where Elon is. Illinois, Tulane, North Carolina State, Syracuse, Cal, Georgia Tech, Clemson, UConn, Virginia, North Carolina, and Wake Forest. So, again, we're highlighting the out of schedule here. And brother, sister, you give South Carolina this damn schedule right now, I'll see you in the college football playoffs. You give Georgia Bulldogs, we will know who the third string quarterback is by October 4th when you're playing Cal. This other ones, Ohio, Rutgers. Ohio's got Rutgers, West Virginia, Ohio State, Gardner Webb, Bowling Green, at Ball State. You know who they don't have? They don't have LSU. They don't have Florida. They don't have Tennessee. Last one, and then I'll get off this soapbox here. Kent State, Merrimack. That sounds like a law firm, you know? Buffalo, Texas Tech, Florida State, Oklahoma, UMass, Toledo, Bowling Green, Ball State. Here's the thing about this particular schedule. Oklahoma, $1.5 million paid to play. Florida State, $1.5 million. I think there was another one on here that had to pay, or maybe it's the following year. But there was basically a $5 million contract that Kent did to fund their football program. So I'm not bashing Kent here, you know, but to highlight them as having the toughest schedule, come on, what are we doing here? The reason that no SEC team's on this list is because the toughest conference schedules reside in the Southeastern Conference. All right, enough of that. Let's see what we got. Cousins. Let me jump to another one here. Steve had a busy week. You know, obviously he had the media days down there in Atlanta, but then he jumps over here on the weekend, and 90% of all conversations that circulate around Steve, he probably should be a financial advisor, as many questions as you get. But here's another one about contracts.
Here's my opinion, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't pretend to know. But let's paint a picture. We sign a young man to a 3-year contract. That should mean, in my opinion, if he's on a 3-year guaranteed contract, that he has to stay at my university for 3 years. The problem I have with that is at the end of year one, if Billy doesn't like the way it's going, he's a free agent and he can go in the portal and leave. That doesn't make sense to me. That's not good. That's not a good business model. Okay. So, where does it go from here? I don't know. I'm not the decision maker on this, so I'm not going to pretend to have the answers to it, but I will say that doesn't make sense to me, right? If I sign a multi-year deal, which I have one, and I decided to leave, which I'm not, I would have to pay the University of Texas to leave. Well, until we institute things like that, then I don't see why we should feel like we have to sign multi-year deals if at the discretion of the student can leave whenever they want. They're a free agent to leave when they want. So is the system perfect? No. Are we trying to get better at cleaning it up to making it better for all parties involved? I do think we are, yes. But we're definitely a work in progress right now.
This is it. I mean, this is where we're heading. Coaches are saying the right things, but they're starting to get the layouts, which makes me wonder if those conversations aren't really being had behind closed doors. Contracts, I think, is ultimately the decision we're going to make. But, you know, at the end of the day, I got these. Here's the thing. If you listen to anything, now that's the one of the Texas deal. Texas fans, they get it. You know, some Oklahoma because they catch some strays, or Texas A&M. But if you ever listen to Coach Sark at any event, 99% of it is asking about money, and it keeps coming up. It's either that or work in some sort of arch man. So it's really tough, and I would imagine that he's exhausted at nauseam about answering these questions. But I want to play one final clip here from Sark, and this is about money. We had a big weekend for Texas recruiting, but then it's funny, it's followed by, you know, not Lambeau shots, but
sports. Coach, I'm curious, you know, you obviously have a few former Texas high school coaches on your staff, lots of people with Texas ties. I'm curious, in the age of revenue sharing and money, what does it actually mean, and how important is it, I guess, the mechanics of building relationships in terms of recruiting and development?
Well, I think it's hugely important. You know, we've got a couple former coaches on staff, in Chris Gilbert and Jamal Fenner, who are both, you know, tremendous high school coaches in the state of Texas, that forge great relationships not only with the high school coaches in the state, but the student athletes. The connections that they have, maybe through third parties, so on and so forth. And so those things are immensely important to us. And to think that that is going to go away, I think we would be remiss. And I know a lot of coaches want to get up here and sing the blues to you and say everything's just transactional now, and it's this and it's that. I don't believe that. And I just don't believe that, because I know the roster that we have on our team. I know the relationships we have with the players on our team. Is there a business aspect now, a component that has been built in? Sure there is. But coaches are under contracts, and we've got great relationships. And so we can still have really good relationships, and there still be a business component to what we do. And if those relationships do matter, then individuals like that, or whether it's Brandon Harris, our general manager, or John Michael Jones, and all that in that department are critical for our success in forging those relationships. Because if it was all just about money, then yeah, I might sign a decent class, but they're not made of the right stuff that what I'm looking for. It might be better somewhere else. And so I just think that it's, you know, we'd be remiss to push that to the side and say it's all transactional, because at that point, now we're just accumulating talented people, and we're not really forming a really good team. And teams win championships. You know, we don't play tennis. We don't play golf. We play football. It's a team sport, and we've got to build teams year after year.
It ain't about the money. We're building something special here. Listen. I'm not saying it's all about the money, because 10-15%, I would say, is diehard Texas fans. But I would say 85% of it's about the money. But one of my favorite comments is, because Texas, I mean, say what you want, they're on a damn run right now. Not top class, it depends, I guess, on what site you're on. But look at these dudes, all right? They got the number one quarterback, number one linebacker, number one defensive lineman, number two running back, Derek Cooper. That's the hot one right now. And then number three edge, Richard Wesley. Now, my favorite post underneath this was from a Mad fan, Fabo, cool name, visits for Derek Cooper, 9 to Miami, 6 to Georgia, 4 to Florida State, 4 to Ohio State, 3 to so on so forth, 1 to Texas. So maybe it did have a little something to do with money, but hey, that's the game we are playing. Now, that's kind of the quick recap that I got this weekend. And to make this show work, guys, girls, if you see something that I need to see, tag me. Let me know, because then I will highlight it and I will bring up cousin so-and-so brought this to my attention. Now, we also have some drunk calls that happened last night. So we're going to jump into that. In the show notes, I will be posting a link. So if you want to be featured on the show, feel free to call in. That's what this is. This is a little bit more laid back. I'm probably going to get in trouble. Mike's not up yet, so he's probably going to see this and can me as soon as he sees this yet. But I want to highlight a couple of cousins here. So posted is the first one. Let's do Jim. Jim's been around. If you don't know Jim from Arlington, you've not this first time to the show, but he calls in. So I want to highlight cousin Jim.
Welcome in. There's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's going on? Hey, Cousin Mike. Hey, Cousin Shane. This is Jim in Arlington giving my hot take on the Oklahoma Sooners. The Sooners will go undefeated in Norman this year, but they will lose at Tennessee, at Alabama, and at South Carolina. But they will win the Red River Rivalry and beat those nasty Texas Longhorns down in Dallas at the State Fair. Boomer Sooner and go Vols!
Thank you, Cousin Jim, for calling in. And he may be right. One of the, you know, it's funny, 16 teams showed up to Media Days. But there was like a handful of teams that people wanted to talk about. You know, and I'm not talking about the big ones. And when I say big ones, the ones that, I'll show you. SEC predicted order here. So, Texas, Georgia, obviously those were for hot topics. But believe it or not, less Alabama talk this year. Less LSU talk this year. You know who we talked about a lot? Oklahoma. Another team we talked about, Florida Gators, South Carolina. So you're looking here at the SEC media poll. Some people are surprised that South Carolina and Florida finished fifth and sixth there in the media predictions. But if you were there, they caught fire, mainly because of the quarterbacks. And Jim, I know your question is about Oklahoma. Oklahoma, here's the only thing I worry about them is Vegas is rarely wrong. And sometimes they are. I mean, obviously, if you're on my bookie and you feel confident that that's the record, this would be a good time to get that money in. But this is a tough, daunting schedule. This isn't Kent State, all right? This is a lot of home games that you have to get. You know, I think that's important. It's not you must. It's you look at Michigan, you look at Auburn, you look at Ole Miss, LSU, Mizzou. These are not easy games, but you have to get them. Say what you want about Brent. Wonderful coach, wonderful person. I mean, if you kind of knew his backstory, it kind of blow your mind. Just I mean, you'd really like the guy if you found out, and most of you already know. But it's a make or break season, and it's easy to say, well, I hope we hit eight, I hope we hit nine. No, you got to. Oklahoma has to. I really feel like this is a make or break season. Now, Jim says the losses will be Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina on the road. You know, Oklahoma fans probably think they should get a couple of those. That Texas game, you got to get it, man. You got to get this one I felt robbed. I'm not going to lie. One of the first things I thought about when these two teams joined this conference was that Red River. I could not wait to be a part of that rivalry. It's not a rivalry if you get your ass kicked. So how do you not? I mean, I'm watching highlights. We're 38 days away from SEC football. There's been several highlights I've used of Oklahoma beating Texas. It happens. SEC fans, however, don't know it. They will. They will soon enough. I think the balances will come back here. But at this moment, at this current juncture, you've got to have some sort of life. Win the home games, maybe the Red River. I like the gusto. But I feel like this is why people are talking about Oklahoma, mainly because it's time to put up or shut up. So, sorry, coffee's kicking in now. Let's go to Cousin Michael. Cousin.
Hey, because it's Michael Lynn down here in Columbus, South Carolina. Listen, if the SEC and the commissioner want to go to 9 games, well, then cut off one of these mid-major teams or whatever and add one of the traditional rivalries. Hear me again. Traditional rivalries like Georgia, South Carolina. There's so many of them that we miss, like the East and the West. You know what I mean? We got to bring that back. We got to get fans back to going to Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, you know, regional games. And I'm sure the West is like that too, but I'm more of a South Carolina fan that is used to going to Athens or Florida, Gainesville, you know, Knoxville. So how do we get back to that? My proposal is, if you are going to add 9 games, then why not add a traditional rivalry?
I appreciate you calling in, cuz. And you're right. I do think that we need to get some of these games back. And if you've looked at the 9 game setup, I think you'll have it. You'll have some. You can't get them all. It's impossible. But the nice thing about 9 is if we go to a 9 game schedule, you'll have your three, you know, permanent rivals, if you will. So those could be the Georgia, South Carolina. That could be a South Carolina, Tennessee, maybe. You know, that obviously that's not in concrete right now, but those will become permanent rivalries and will be awesome games to watch, long as we reserve the ones we all enjoy, obviously. But the best thing for me, in my opinion, is when we go to this 9 game is, okay, say we don't have South Carolina, Tennessee. We will next year. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a rotation. So every other year, you're going to face a team that I think the biggest question here, or the biggest, I guess, you know, it's, I hate hearing the word guaranteed college football playoffs and all this bullshit, but let's face it. Let's just be real for a second. You know, a 9-3 South Carolina didn't get in last year. I'm referencing Kent State again. You know, Kent State, if they lost to, let's not forget Kent State for a second. Let's go up to Indiana. You know, if they had LSU, if they had Ole Miss, and if they had, who was the other one with South Carolina? I'm drawing a blank here. Alabama, you know, another college football playoff fringe team. If they would have had those threes, we would not have been having the conversation about Indiana going to college football playoffs. I think to make this work, I can't remember who it was. I want to say one of the interviews that we did. We did so many at Media Days. But they did talk about if we go to a 9 game, the other three can come from big conferences. So have one from the Big Ten. Have a team from the ACC. Have one from the Big 12. And then that way we're all playing this. But more importantly, we're also temperature gauging, because I feel like what happens later in the year is when we're trying to figure out who's good, who's not, we're leaving teams out, and or we're putting teams in because they deserve it. No, shit, get the hell out of here. Nobody deserves shit. This, you got to earn it. And I feel like we can't earn it if we don't play it. So let's have some tougher games. It's all about the fans. It's all about the players. Players want to play the games. Fans want to watch the games. So let's figure it out. Last one, I've got a Cracker Barrel. Actually, I may save this one. No, you know what? I appreciate Cousin Blake calling this one in. So I'm going to highlight one final one.
Missouri does not finish the season with the same quarterback who starts the season.
Maybe right. You may be right there. In fact, if you look at all the quarterbacks that played last season, most of them didn't make it an entire season. Some of them didn't get to finish the year. One concern I have with, I don't know what we're calling him now. I think we're calling him Bomo, is similar to Brady Cook. He is not afraid to run the football. Now, because Brady Cook runs the football, he got hurt. Your backup quarterback coming off Tommy John surgery. So, but let's not think Horn didn't have a lot of, I mean, we were pumped. We were excited. We couldn't wait. In fact, we wanted to bench Brady at one point for this kid. So, yeah. My only concern, though, Blake, is if that's the case, then Mizzou's having a bad season. I feel like if you're replacing a quarterback other than injury, then shit went wrong. And let's, you know, if Mizzou's going to make another run, we need to hope that doesn't happen. So, closing out, let's see here. We got a couple of cousins. I want to make sure we give everybody a shout out. I appreciate everybody hanging out with me this morning. We'll be doing it every morning, Monday through Friday. If you got, again, if you've got something you want to talk about, be sure to tag me. If you got a, if you've got a, audio, or I've got several voicemails, but best ones will get featured on the show. So be sure to, hit the link, leave a voicemail. But guys, girls, I got to get out of here. Breakfast is calling. Go Vols. If I know how to end it.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.